Wonder bears on the mountains, wonder bears on the sea, wonder bears made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. We're live tonight from Hallelujah Acres. Got a great program. I want you to stay tuned. Part three of the Honeybee. We're going to produce a lot of honey tonight in the form of revelation. You know, honey is the sweet nectar that is collected by what we call the honeybee. Now, the way we live our lives in order to be pleasing to the Creator, if you'll go and just stand at a beehive and watch the beehive activity, the goings and the comings of the worker bees as they work very hard at their jobs. They carry the nectar along with the pollination, and they breed into the hive after developing the hexagonal beehive, which is in itself is a scientific marvel of engineering, with a little head on a bee. It's incredible how small their brain is compared to man. And yet the honeybee knows its job. It knows its place and its position without any training. It has an instinct that is unique. Among the insects, it is one of the most precious insects for man. It contributes a lot to man's welfare. We've done talked about the pollination process, the carrying of the pollen from field to field, and this is big business. And without the honeybee, we would lose 30% of our food chain. We'd no longer have one-third of our food. Basically, And so the honeybee is an important part. Now, how we live our lives in contrast, we need to watch the honeybee. Now, the Bible suggests that you consider the ant, calls a man a sluggard, somebody that's got no ambition, somebody that's got no spiritual get up and go. You know, I love men and women that have a first love for the Creator. That's the plan. That's how Yahweh intended to place our priorities in order based on the analogy that I can give you tonight in comparisons of the beehive. Now, the beehive had enemies. We have enemies. And so the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a beehive. We're going to discuss the enemies that we have in the kingdom and the enemies that the bee has in the beehive. Man has the ark to look to as a point of reference. The honeybee has the hive. Now, if he's out in nature, he builds his own hive. If he's been captured by man, man assists the bee in living in a what we call a beehive, built especially for him, but they do all of the modifications needed to make the hive productive. In order for you to be productive, you must liken yourself unto a worker bee that is called and chosen and instructed from a child. The Bible said from a child. You see, the honeybee has got a small brain, but it's got the built-in instincts. Man has got a larger brain, but he has to train himself to work in the kingdom. Man usually learns the things of the world. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Now, what does that entail? Let's consider the contrast between the first two brothers to show you that we have enemies just like the little bee. Now, I don't know where you know this or not, but the bee, the greatest enemy that the bee has, basically cannot be seen with the natural eye. It's microscopic. It's a mite. And the reason it's a mite, it is so small. It's a little red speck, if you will, on the body of the bee, usually around the leg area. And the mite is basically built just like we would consider the tick, which when it's small, when it has nothing to feed on, it's very small. And yet you can see that tick if you'll look closely. You mothers that have know the dangers of tick fever, being bitten by a tick, you bring your children in and you bathe them and you look for ticks. They hide somewhere behind the ear. They're smart. They have an instinct. They know how to hide in places that is hard to see them. Well, the mite, the greatest enemy that the bee has is the small mite that is almost microscopic. The greatest enemy that you have is microscopic. You say, well, I don't know about that. The last enemy I had weighed 235 pounds. If you look at Satan or look for him, you can't see him. He's an invisible force. However, he's active in our lives. And so then, no one has ever seen the devil, yet he's the greatest enemy that the kingdom has. The ark. Let's compare the kingdom. kingdom of heaven to man being in the Ark of the Covenant, and the beehive as the home of the bee with the invading enemy, microscopic, something that you can't see. The Bible said that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We look for the big events. We're always looking for Satan in all the wrong places. He hides microscopically in your life. How to find him. How to eradicate him. How to move him out is basically what someone in the kingdom have. Just like the bee, it doesn't know that the mite has attached itself, and as a rider, it visits the it likes particularly the drone bees. Now, why man has figured out is because the mites instinctively, now they're not common enemies here in America, the mite that became the enemy to our bees came from Asia. It's a foreign invader. Just like today, we have a foreign invasion of those who are not to be here among the house of Israel. This is the house of Israel. This is the land of milk and honey. We didn't have any enemies here other than ourselves. And yet we have, just like the honeybee, we've imported the mites from Asia by trade, by fruits, by exchanging. That's how a lot of diseases come into countries where the country is not or had not been susceptible to the diseases or the invading force. And so the microscopic mite, how small, you basically have to use a microscope, a spiritual microscope, that is, to see the devil. He's very hard to see. He often appears as your friend. Useful in the ways that he presents himself. He entices you. The Bible said that man is not tempted by the Creator, but he's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Satan's got away the microscopic enemy in your mind. Very small matter. And yet he's so powerful when he gains a foothold in your life, he's hard to eradicate, just like the mite that can destroy the beehive. And you'll walk up and the bees look fine. They're working feverishly, and yet all of a sudden they may die out or disappear. And you wonder what happened. It's the invading enemy that you cannot see. Sin is the invading enemy to man, as the mite is the invading enemy to the honeybee. And when I say microscopic mites, that's exactly what they are. You need to know exactly how the mite would work. And how that he would visit. Now, there is a bee known as the E23. He's a winter bee. The ones that are born in the winter for that purpose. He's born late in the fall, as the last of the major brood cycles. And the bee is fed differently than her summer sisters or brothers. She eats more and pollen and honey than the bees of August. Why? Because they're going to have to survive the long winter. She is bred to survive the cold of the winter, whereas the summer bee cannot survive. Stalking her colony is a tiny destroyer which will suck the life from her very body without her knowing it. Sin has got a way of sucking the very essence or the nectar of the Holy Spirit. And Bible said sin is a transgression of the law. Well, we got preachers today. These are the enemies that's crept in unaware. These are wolves in sheep clothing, but they have wonderful testimonies. They preach just like they love you. And they're there to protect you. Actually, they're there to fleece you and to use you just like the mite that microscopically cannot be seen working actively in the hive. So Satan works in the hearts of his false prophets and their teachers. Now the parasite crawls into the hive and it goes down to the lower level. Remember I gave you the three distinct chambers within the hexagonal hive creation. They go to the very bottom. Now, in order to catch these mite and to eradicate them, man must be cunning and crafty. And the Bible talks about Satan, the mite, the microscopic mite of sin that creeps into the ark of our body, just like the mite that creeps into the beehive, and it wastes no time in firmly attaching itself to the unsuccessful or unsuspecting parts of the bee as it latches on and takes a ride. Now, I mentioned that it likes the drone bees. Now, the drone bees are those other bees that visit other hives. This mite instinctively knows, just like we know by nature, that one rotten apple can spoil the whole barrel. If you get someone in the assembly that is not of Yahweh, they come in crafty and cunning, and they work deceit and sow discord. Now, the Bible says that one of the seven things that Yahweh hates is they that sow discord among the brethren. Now, to your face, they love you. But when they get the chance, it's like the mite. It will hitch a ride somewhere as a carrier of their disease, and the first thing you know, all the hives in the neighborhood are affected and infected by the simple carrier of the drone. Now, no one would suspect that sheep could be carriers of a goat nature in looking like sheep, or they could actually be wolves in sheep clothing. And so Satan has got 1,000 disguises or 1,000 ways to worm, if you will, his way into your life. Now, isn't that how Satan works? Well, Satan, being the author of confusion, just like the mites, they bring order into the hive until they attach. And then they begin to suck the lifeblood, if you will, of the bee's life right out of the hive. Satan, when sin, the Bible said, when sin is conceived, when we let the mite, the little small things, when we let them get into our life and lock on, and we become carriers, gossipers, busybodies, just like the drone bee busying itself, flying around to other beehives and going in and stealing the essence of the hive, the mite attaches himself to the drone And he writes right into the hive as the greatest enemy to the honeybee, being so microscopically small that even some of your best beekeepers never recognize until the hive is decimated. But therein lies the ability of the shepherd. The shepherd recognizes a problem. A good beekeeper recognizes the problem, if you will. He knows how to identify a mite colony, and he effectively knows where the mites hide in the hive. So they can ride through the winter and survive deep in the chambers. That's where sin begins, when it conceived. It brings in the object of death. When it's finished, it brings forth death, and that's what it brings to the beehive. Now we've got to get our lives in the likeness of the Father, who was perfect. If you consider the contrast between the first two beings in the kingdom, Cain and Abel, they were half brothers. One was the other's worst nightmare, the enemy, and yet it was natural because he was hatched out of the same womb that the good one, which would be Abel, Cain was wicked, because the Bible says that he was of the wicked one. Now, Abel had no reason to suspect that this was an evil being, because Abel did not know what evil was. He was born from the good seed. Satan was born from the bad seed, and the Bible says that these seeds contrasted as light and darkness. At this time, light had no darkness, and darkness had no light. And so Abel, unsuspecting of what danger he was in, associated, not knowing that Cain had a flaw. Now, where was the flaw? Just like the mite enters in, if you will, to the beehive, unsuspecting microscopically, Abel had no way of knowing that he was in danger of losing his life. Now, the Bible says that the son of Yahweh, that would have been Abel, was slain from the foundation of the world. So the good seed fell victim to the bad seed, just like the colony of bees would fall victim to the microscopic mite that has entered the hive unannounced. And there he wreaks havoc as he sucks the lifeblood from the worker bees. Did you know that sin will destroy a nation? It will literally suck, and yet you can't see it. People walk up and down the street with sin in their life, and you would never know it. If you wait around long enough, you will know them by their fruit. By your fruit you shall know them. A good tree cannot bring forth bad seed. Just like a diseased worker bee with mite attached, although he goes about his programmed daily activities of gathering the nectar and pollen to feed the larvae in the hive. The mite catches a ride, and as the deposit is made into the honeycomb, the mite drops to the lower level. Sin is a lower level microscopic thing that can start in your life so small. And yet when it festers, or when it's conceived, it brings forth death. Just like the mite can destroy the hive, sin will destroy a kingdom worker. I've known a lot of men and women down through the years of my ministry that have been destroyed by something that didn't seem that it would be any harm. It's the little things that bring the harm, because they fester and they grow. When sin conceives, it brings forth death. To leave sin in your member, therefore, let not sin reign in your members. The way to eradicate sin, which are bad habits, is to put a good one in its place. Reach for that which is from above and shun that which seems right. Cain was a wicked one, and his fruits begin to grow. Lust, jealousy, envy, hatred. Did you know that the devil can cover all that up and really be jealous of you? And hate you, really. And when they come, they'll greet you and hug you and talk good to you and, oh, you're the best thing. But when they get out and they get a chance, they'll murder your influence. Talk to you behind your back about you. Damage your reputation. Tell all kinds of evil things about you. Nothing good they ever have to say. That is a Cain spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, the more good they try to be for the act of deceit, and Satan will go out of his way microscopically in the little things to plant these things, these little spiritual sinful booby traps, if you will. And then when they get a lock on you, just like the mites, when the hive gets infested, as they eat the lifeblood out of the worker bees and destroy the kingdom. Beware. The Bible talks about Satan coming in unaware. The mite comes in unaware. Microscopically, he is so small, and yet he breeds with the intent to destroy the body of the worker bee. Your enemy, basically, is your failure to examine yourself. Your way seems right in your own eye. If you see a brother in the wrong, go to him and him alone. Even a monkey will take its young, or they will socially pick through the fur to kill off the ticks and the little insects that hide in the fur of the monkey. The monkey's got enough mind to pick its fur, or to have someone examine it. The Bible said, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Have somebody to inspect the fruit that's growing in your life. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Have brothers and sisters that you can confide in, that they'll be a special friend to you for the duration of your life. You're born a few days like the honeybee and full of trouble. You have very few people that you can trust as friends. I've been disappointed so many times over my 70-plus years, most of it in the ministry of those who call themselves Christian, but microscopically, they were Satans. The infusion of the evil that's in their life, hidden below the surface in their heart, where only Yahweh can see and search. The Bible said, try the spirits. You'll know them. Eventually, if they get a lick at you, if they're like the enemy of the bee, they'll attach themselves as your friends and carriers, and you will carry them to the hive, the spiritual ark, and you will recommend to your other brothers and your other sisters. And then when they betray you, David said, it was not my enemy. It was the enemy that was out in the field. It was my brother. We took sweet counsel, and we walked into the beehive, the assembly. They spoke like your people. They walk like your people until they have a chance, just like the mite, when it attaches to the body of the bee, it begins to suck the lifeblood, and eventually the bee will die from a lack of nutrient as his own life's blood, like the tick that feeds off of the body. This parasite in the kingdom are satanic agents sent to destroy the beehive of heaven. Therefore, your elders and those who watch for your soul, that's why that it's necessary to have what we call a fruit inspection. You shall know them by their fruit. Now, if your brother sins against you 70 times a day, you're to forgive and to forget. And by this, and by comparing the kingdom of the honeybee in his little hive, as he feverishly goes about collecting the sweet nectar of the beautiful flowers, which is the food, or the honey wafers, just like the Israelites who were collecting the bread from heaven. It was sweet wafer bread. Honey. Had a toasted honey taste to it. Angel food it's called. And yet they murmured and complained and gathered twice as much as they should, and the infestation of worms as it spoiled on their greedy habits. You see, Yahweh is wanting you to be content in whatever you have. Don't lust for the things that you see the other world have and lust after them. Be content. If there's no mites in the camp of the honeybees, they are healthy and vibrant and working. If these microscopic mites are let into the colony, they destroy from within, as the one bad apple spoils the whole barrel. And so it is with the kingdom principles. Examine yourself and lay your hands suddenly on no man. Have the elders to have discernment when they question those who would join the assembly, that there be no schism in the body that's stopped by the mite inspectors. You say, well, they're just nitpicking. Ladies and gentlemen, you know a tree by its fruit, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So by examining the brethren and sisters that are coming into the beehive, you, in order to keep the hive healthy, eliminate those who are not qualified, just like Cain. He desired to worship. He wanted to get in the hive. He got in. And the first thing he done is started wreaking havoc within the beehive. He killed. He maimed. He destroyed. Satan, although you've never seen him, has so much power and influence on your life that if you let him dwell there, that's why that those who know these spirits, when they come in, you have to cast out or cleanse or eradicate these spiritual mites, these little things that doesn't seem like a whole lot to some people. But a trained spiritual eye of an elder can detect it a long way. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now, the Bible uses many analogies, and I'm using the beehive and the little worker bee to compare to the kingdom principles. Yahweh himself taught nature when he used wheat and tares, when he used the sparrow, who labored not for his food, and how that Yahweh provided for him and how he kept him healthy. Although mites do get in birds, and these are parasites that suck the living blood, and the sinner or the unrecognized satanic being that is full of Satan, when they come in, they appear good. That's the way Satan works. He looks like a Christian. He talks like a Christian. He walks like a Christian. Until he starts manifesting his fruits. Once you recognize his fruits as an enemy, what do? You let ants invade a beehive and see what happens. They're natural enemies. You let any predator come in to your home, to invade your home. If you don't carry a weapon defensible that can take care of the home in case, you say, well, I don't believe in guns. Well, an armed population is a citizen of a country. An unarmed population is a subject of the government. Now, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the might of destruction? Or do you want to be a solution to the problem? Be like a worker bee. Examine yourself. Wash yourself. Cleanse yourself. Remove all of those things that creep into your life microscopically, may seem small. If you beat your bills and you don't pay your debts, and if you won't work, you won't eat. You take a lazy worker bee, there is no such thing. They eradicate those bees that will not work. Now, the drone bees have a specific purpose. The queen bee has a specific purpose, and so like the kingdom of the swarm, or the caught up together with Yahweh in the air, to rejoice with him. Yahweh knows them that are his. Let's swarm together during these times that are coming up. Let's press toward the mark. Let's be workers, not for the things of the world, not to make a large showing for self. Look what I've got. Look how much land I own. Look how many buildings I've got. Look how many employees I've got. That's well and good. Blessed be Yahweh that prospereth you and that provides for you, and you could be a blessing to others. But when you begin to be selfish and cruel and inhumane and unappreciative, saying, my hands got me this, and you become that servant that begins to beat your fellow subjects or to mistreat, remember, you reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. If the hive is infested with mites, it will be destroyed. But the beekeeper, representing himself as the shepherd of the flock or the bees, when he comes in to see what's going on in the hive, he recognizes that the bees are lifeless, and he knows the mites have stolen in because he set traps in the bottom of the hive where the mite hides to expel him. And so though the master of the hive would be the shepherd that watches for your soul, and the elders that are trained to know, just like the beekeeper himself recognizes the need to keep his bees in order. They'll do the work naturally, and by nature they will provide the sweet nectar of honey at the time that you go to rob them. Now, what is it called robbing the bees? It's because Satan himself is coming to steal you. Yahweh is coming to see what you've done, to put your as a bee worker. He's gathered the nectar for honey. The larvae, which is the future generation of bees that will take over the hive, each successive swarm is for the establishment of maintaining the kingdom. For us to survive, we must protect our own. We must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We should keep ourselves pure and spotless. We should work while it's light, because nobody can work when it's dark. The children of darkness seem like the children of light, but a honeybee knows the difference. A beekeeper knows the difference. If there's an invasion of the enemies, he cleanses the hive. When it comes time for him to collect what the bee has gathered, and this is true, the bees collect much more honey, being ferocious workers, than they need. Therefore, it produces honey, or the bread, into the kingdom. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let's not be sluggard. Let's consider that we are to be compared to the worker bee in the kingdom of heaven. As the ark represents our hive, as it's related to the bee, we must work within the ark of the covenant to maintain what is called a purpose and a direction for our Father. Let everything be done in decency and in order. Love Yahweh and keep His commandments, and work while it is light. Now, we've got a Passover coming up here in this month. Matter of fact, we'll start on the 27th of the month here at Hallelujah Acres, where we will be keeping the festival of Passover as required by those who would love to remember Him. Remember the Master, the King Bee, if you will, as he swarmed in his first resurrection and took out of his resurrection, in that resurrection, like the bees that swarmed to mate. He took his bride out of the earth in the first resurrection, and just like the bees that rise to breed or swarm in the air. Then the worker bees recognize the queen, and then they mate. And just like the Heavenly Father and the wife are now in heaven, when the kingdom travails, she brings forth sons and daughters. And today, by the keeping of the hive, keeping it healthy, keeping it on track, keeping it in its purpose, keeping it justifiably lawful to cleanse itself of sin and all matter that separates lust, the 17 works of the flesh, which I could name, that is working actively in the carnal mind where Satan dwells, that microscopic demon, that if you give your carnal mind over to him, he will persuade you that what you're doing is just and righteous, when in reality, in the spirit, it is evil and sinful and sows discord. Keep yourself pure and unspotted. Now, that's an article of faith. We teach a purity. We teach to stay within our own kind after kind. You never see a honeybee nesting with a wasper. You never see a blue jay building a nest for a redbird. You'll never see them cross mate. But man justifying himself through sin and the carnal mind which Satan has planted in your mind, that is justifiable, and it's one of those little things that is not worth arguing about. You know, when you stand for right, the devil's always got four or five people that says, oh, we don't need to bring that up. That's arguing. Let's not bring that up. So then, little by little, sin creeps into the hive and destroys the workers of the kingdom. Take heed, lest Satan deceive you. Because the Bible said he would deceive the very elect. If you don't have order and a system of eradicating that little mite that comes in and grows into a mountain, the sin, once planted, will produce a crop, and it's very destructive. Tares look like wheat. The honeybee doesn't look like that there's anything wrong with him when you open the hive. But a trained eye can see sin, although it is microscopic or hidden from view. That's how, in the discernment, the Bible has given gifts into the assembly for discernment. You know, we were in Andrews, North Carolina for several years before sin, which was sown by one of the workers in the kingdom, began to plant seeds of unbelief, and first thing you know, it divided the hive and destroyed the assembly. Ladies and gentlemen, take heed, lest Satan destroy you and cast you as a worthless worker. You know, you always come in to demand what you've done with the money changers. The great beekeeper is coming to take his honey from the hive. If there's no honey, it's cast forth like salt. If it's lost its saltness, it's cast forth to be trodden under the foot of man. It's just like the fishes that were taken to the shore. The good only were kept, and the bad were rejected. It's just like the kingdom principles today. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let's begin to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And so the principle of the honeybee, being as it is, compared to the kingdom principle, has a lot in common with that simple little honeybee that's got a little brain about the size of a pinhead, and yet knows its instincts and its place and its purposes. The only thing that it cannot recognize is when the mite invades the colony or the hive and infects. But a trained beekeeper knows his bees, and he knows how to eradicate the mites, just like the prophet and the teachers and the discerners that sit in the assembly to watch for your soul. That's why they're there on their job. That's why the queen has a purpose. That's why that the king has a purpose. And you're all kings and queens in Yahweh's beehive. Keep yourself pure. Watch for your soul and watch for the souls of others. Examine them as you examine yourself. Be constructive. If you've got criticism, consider that we're so touchy about things. Watch how you instruct and watch how you teach people. Consider yourself. Would you want to say something hard and unbearable said to you? If you say it to others, it's going to be said to you. Be kind. Be gentle. In fact, be patient. Be out to teach. Show the person its fault. Prove it's got a fault. Lift up its leg if you have to and show that the little mite, that little small matter that is going to grow and fester like a tick that's going to suck the lifeblood, or a mite that's going to suck the lifeblood out of the colony. Eradicate them and keep the hive healthy, making good honey, which when times of trouble come, you will be delivered into the kingdom. Come, blessed of my servants. You've been workers. You've kept the faith, and you've not denied my name. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing toward the mark and the high calling. Remember, we're going to swarm. Remember, it's a time before the king bee and the queen bee to come out of the heaven to collect the honey. Oh, praise Yahweh. I look forward to the day that I can hear him say, "Well done, my faithful bee workers. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. For you've laid up treasures, and I have received the compensation for your labor. You've put your money to the money changers. Your supers are hanging full of honey." Just like the great riddle that Samson had, and the riddle of the honey bee that built its nest in the carcass of a dead lion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assure you that the bees are ready to swarm. Let's get about our Father's business. Let's raise up. Let's press on. Let's don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil have his way in your life. Stand up. Be ready to have an answer. And when you do, Yahweh will make sure that you passed from death unto life. Make sure that your purpose is kingdom principles. And make sure, like the little worker bee, that you're about your Father's business. Well, I love you tonight, and I've got to get off here. My time is coming gone. I've enjoyed being here at Hallelujah Acres to minister to you tonight. And we're thankful for you. We'll be seeing you here. Those of you that are planning to come, we're just off the interstate, about 35 or 40 minutes off the interstate. And we're located in a remote area right on the Hiawassee River here in East Tennessee. If you would like to have directions to the festival for Passover, which will begin on the 27th day of May with an old-fashioned foot washing. We're going to have a tent raising. I hope that some of the brothers can get here early enough to help us to raise the tent that it can be ready to go on Passover Day. If not, we can put it up on Passover. But we expect to see you here. Fail not to assemble yourself together and get in the hive, and let's make some honey. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you on down the line tomorrow night, actually, at 8 o'clock. We got an 8 o'clock early call. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul and all of those that hold the hands of Pastor Buddy up to minister to you as a shepherd or the beekeeper of the hive. I really appreciate it tonight, and I appreciate all of my fellow workers and the elders, and we also really appreciate the Queen Bee and the coming of the King. Hallelujah. So we'll see you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, early call now. We'll be sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. Don't fail to join us. I mean, join us up early. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on the air. We'll see you tomorrow night around the world. And may Yahweh bless you and keep you in the hive of his purpose. Hallelujah. I love you. All you worker bees, be good. Hallelujah.